I mean, listen, the games are coming up fast and furious in a hurry here in just a couple of weeks, the 2021 season for the CEBL. Listen, I could ask you 100 different questions to start this. I'll just begin with maybe an easy one. How hard was this to make happen? Because I know you did it in the bubble last year, and you pulled it off last year, which was that much more impressive as well. But to do it this year in the midst of rising numbers, which thankfully are coming down now, and with all of the restrictions that still are upon us, how difficult was it to try and get this all together and actually unite provinces and medical community and check all the right boxes and actually get this together?
Oh, man, incredibly difficult is probably the best way for me to position that. I mean, wow. It's funny, we were very fortunate to get our approvals about 10 days ago verbally, and then that followed up with our written documentation. But you think you celebrate, but you don't, because you're like, oh man, we got to play games in like a couple weeks. We got to get to work. Not that we haven't been, but you spend so much time, a considerable amount of time, on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, working with different levels of government across four different provinces, all the way up to the chief medical officers and the ministers of sport and the task forces and you name it. And last year was incredible amount of work. We were the first to do so, but we only had to worry about one province. So when you factor in now three other provinces and making sure they talk and they examine things across, you know, provincial borders, it was incredibly difficult, but at the same time incredibly rewarding, seeing how we were able to accomplish it. And I hope we never ever have to do that again, and I said that last year, so let's hope this year is the final one.
Mike, I'm impressed. You just kind of answered my question. Eric said he had a million. I was going to just ask, how the hell did you do it? But you've just kind of explained that. Can you run for office? You got my vote.
I'm not sure, but I want to after all the work.
No, don't.
At the
don't.
Political level.
No, you're too good a person to be involved in that that foolishness. In terms of the protocols, though, Mike. How were you able to establish some sense of uniformity across with the protocols across provinces? Because as you said, there are different populations, different vaccination rates.
Right.
Some governments want this, others don't. Some have bigger issues. And like I look at us in Ontario, mm-hmm. when there's border crossings from international and it impacts our own COVID numbers in Ontario, it's very different from border crossings in, say, Alberta or Saskatchewan in that same way.
I think the easiest answer is you create your protocols to the utmost highest level. And you know that if some will accept less, you're okay because you're covered. And if people or provinces demand more, you're covered. So at the end of the day, our protocols are way far and beyond what the general public would ever have to entertain, even as we go through the reopening process. So it's, with PCR testing, antigen testing, every other day testing, and, quarantine for our international players, some of which are fully vaccinated. So it doesn't always make sense, but you try to do everything possible to return safely. And then you're kind of at the whim of what happens around you. And we are just, we have the good fortune across the country of people getting vaccinated. That really was the single most important factor and the biggest game changer. So, having said that, in some markets in Alberta and Saskatchewan, we'll probably see fans come July, which is exciting and thrilling, but still like it feels like starting all over again. And then in Ontario and BC, it's highly unlikely that we'll see any fans in the building, although we've put a request in to Premier Ford to entertain 300 fully vaccinated healthcare workers in Ottawa for the first three games, and we're hoping we can replicate that as the Leafs did in our other Ontario markets. But it's kudos goes to the work of the people in this office, but also at the same time, on the provincial level, it is a tough and difficult process. But at the end of the day, the four chief medical officers from the four provinces got together and gave the sign off. So they committed time to making it happen, and I'm very fortunate they did.
Speaking with the commissioner and CEO of the CEBL, Mike Morielli. Mike, give me a sense of, and this might be a long answer, I don't know. Give me a sense of what a typical game day will look like, not just for the players, but for the fans. And maybe I'm guilty here of giving my own sort of personal editorial here. One of my biggest questions when I return is, how safe is it for me as a ticket buyer, as a fan? Some places we hear stateside about you have to show proof of vaccination to get into the building. Other places, it's a free-for-all. Some places there's a vaccinated section versus an unvaccinated section. Again, other places, free-for-all. What's it going to be like for the fans, let alone for the players? Are they being told that they have to be vaccinated, or is it still personal decision? Give me a sense of all of this from a league's perspective.
Yeah, I think from a player and coach and support staff and anybody that's involved in what we call our tier one group, which are the ones that are in close contact on a regular basis, they're going to be put through the ringer, you know, and protocols are going to be mandated, et cetera. Now, you can't mandate vaccines, as you know, but, you know, we strongly suggest them, and we talk about the reasons why and what that affords us to do. And there's been new, you know, legislations that's come out that if, you know, fully vaccinated Canadians, if they're in contact with someone that has COVID but they're asymptomatic, then there's no need to quarantine. So there's a lot of little things that are starting to come up that show the benefit of being vaccinated. Now, it doesn't mean we could skimp on the quarantine. It doesn't mean we can't wear masks. It just means that there are some benefits. And as a, from a fan perspective, it's going to be interesting because, you know, we're going to have to work hand in hand with public health in, you know, Alberta specifically first, probably, and then the province of Saskatchewan and what that means. Because if their stage reopening plans, if you read them, in Alberta, come the end of June, beginning of July, it's wide open, no restrictions. So when you say that, it means like for all, come sit side by side and all this other stuff. So these are things that we don't know. Does the general public feel comfortable doing that? Do they feel comfortable coming to a building, sit side by side? You know, we're reworking our courtside seating, so it's less of your typical courtside, but more of, you know, tabletop social areas still on the court level. But, you know, in the stands, we are now working with the public health to determine, are there pods? Or is it straight up seating? If it's wide open season, loosening of all restrictions, theoretically, the whole building's open. So it's, I don't have all the answers yet, right? But we made the commitment to return without fans. And that was the most important part because we didn't want to subject ourselves to waiting and waiting and waiting for these decisions to be made. We wanted to get back to playing basketball. That was most important to us, for our players and coaches and fans. And hopefully they'll be able to step into a venue and see it. And if not, we are fully prepared to provide every game to them through all of our media channels and content channels and live TV, et cetera, to make that happen. So playing was most important. Fans are equally as important, but they're the next in line, and we're working on that right now.
With the playing going on, Mike, and you've had so much on your plate, when you get a chance to exhale and sit back and watch games, what are you most looking forward to?
Oh, August 22nd, when we're handing out the trophy, so you can breathe again. But I say that in jest, because truthfully, I cannot wait to see these guys back on a court, even just for training camp. You know, it's that kind of stuff, that ex-playing mentality never leaves you, ever.
Right,
And even if it was a different sport, it's the excitement to see the smiles on the guys' faces. And the there's something special about providing an opportunity to somebody that is a sense of a return to normal or some sort of normalcy. You see it, it's all the appreciation I need. That's all I need is for these guys to approach every game like it means something, which they do. That makes it all worthwhile for me.
Speaking with the CEO and commissioner of the CEBL, Mike Morielli. Mike, I know it's not always just about the names. It comes down to the quality of the play as well, and that's ultimately what's going to sell the league more than anything. But you talk about names, from players to coaches to management. There are a lot of big names, recognizable names, not just in Canadian basketball and Canadian basketball history, but international and worldwide as well. How big has that been when you look around the league and think about some of the hirings and signings that have been made by your various franchises over the course of the summer, bringing that much more profile, spotlight, credibility to this young league?
It's tremendous. I mean, kudos to our teams, our basketball side for getting those people, and for our, even, you know, our brand side to get, for them to attract, you know, players. The first thing players do is try and find out more, and they go on social media, they go on the website, and they go, wow, this is legit. This is for real. First impressions are very important. But the talent is, I mean, we added 75 new players last year, all very high caliber talent. This year we're adding more new players. They're from big time NCAA programs or national champion youth sports or major programs in Europe or the NBA and first, second, third round draft picks, the G League. I mean, man, I sometimes think that internationally, we are so much more known and respected than sometimes within our own borders, because we haven't been able to showcase, you know, historically the top basketball talent in the world in Canada. We've been, you know, limited to, you know, the Grizzlies and the Raptors, which is tremendous, don't get me wrong. But beyond that, I'm not sure domestically we understand the talent level of international basketball. And we're an international league. We play FIBA. And I think it'll be apparent this year as we get to the Olympics, or just go look at the world standings. The top leagues or the top teams or countries in the world in terms of basketball are all countries that have domestic programs that are strong and healthy and thriving, and they grow from within. And, you know, that's why we created the league, and we're really excited to see it actually coming to life right in front of our eyes.